Praise the Lord. If it would be so, if in practice it could become evident, as He leads me, so will I follow. And this agrees with the words of our Lord. Take up thy cross and follow me. God's sonship includes that we lay our will into the will of God, that we distance ourselves from our own ways and walk on the way of God. And if that, what Brother Rus mentioned already in one sentence, if it could become like this, that we not only sing it, but that it could be made manifest before the sons and daughters of God, according to Romans 8, can be manifested, it must be manifested that in them the divine obedience, as it was manifested in the Son of God on earth, that it is also manifested in them. And I think the time has come, even though we admit, and here is again a scripture, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, then His Spirit makes intercession for us, so that the earthly deficiency and weakness is swallowed up by the power and victory of God, so that God upholds the victory. I believe the longer, the more we are all longing for to give testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but to make experiences of which we can testify of, which God, by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, could work in our lives. A believing person who did not truly had an experience with God, to him is missing the divine confirmation that he was received and accepted, and thus became a son of God and a daughter of God, being placed into the great family of God. Some argue about the Godhead without, by revelation, considering the eternal counsel of God, which He finishes according to the development of the time. And they put one scripture opposite the other one and can't cope with it. We recognized, by grace, we recognized that God wants to have sons and daughters in eternity around Him who will never die, who can never get sick or having any other affliction. And therefore, the Almighty God who in his nature is spirit, has revealed himself in a body of flesh here on earth as Emmanuel, as God with us. There was, I use now the term, there was a divine partitioning in a heavenly and earthly realm, in the Father, in the Son, to thus reconcile mankind in Christ, the Son of God, with himself, and to make a new beginning of the divine creation, or to initiate it. God's word was not written to theologians who interpret it, who twist it. God's word was written to the people of God. And it says in Isaiah 35, then there will be a prepared way. It will be called the highway of the redeemed. And no wicked one will walk on it. Amen. The way of God is alone for his people. When I come here to the service, then I always want to give announcements, testimonies, reports. And as soon as I'm here, I forget everything. And it flows from the deepest of my soul. A divine fountain just breaks forth. According to the scripture, the water which I will give you will become in you a well of water springing up into eternal life. Not head knowledge, not intelligence, not human evidence or classification, but God's revelation in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And for this, we are so grateful. Moses said in Exodus 33, probably, if I have found grace in thy sight, then let me know thy ways, so that I know that I found grace in thy sight. If one speaks today with the people about the grace of God, yes, then they are all pardoned. And no one knows what grace means. The law came through Moses, and the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And we are here, gathered in the presence of God, and count with it to be penetrated by the divine grace and love to the innermost part of our soul. And even more, by grace we were ordained to be brought into conformity with the Word of God. And I think this is all our desire. Wherever this is not the case yet, There we may say to one another, we are still in the time of grace, and he who started will continue and will finish the started work. When? Who knows it? Unto the day of his return. Amen. Unto the day of his return. Also about this, we are very grateful to our Lord. Paul writes in Corinthians, this we read here recently, and I feel it on my own body, the longer, the more, that our earthly body is used up, that it diminishes, but that we are strengthened in the Spirit, encouraged and comforted. Perhaps we should today read a scripture. Who knows where this word is written? When our earthly tabernacle is dissolved, then the inner man is comforted day by day, and we may by faith walk forward. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. A wonderful word. People lived on earth, strengthened by the power of God, encouraged in disappointments, in tribulations, in persecutions, knowing that God has sealed his word in them by the Holy Spirit. And I think here on some men of God who were also just humans, who thought of themselves unable to face major tasks, to fulfill them. Let us think on Jonah. He took a ship into another direction because he thought to be unable to fulfill this great task for God. And we see it with others. Moses said, I cannot speak. In other words, take somebody else who is suitable, who is skilled. And most people have of Paul the impression that he was mighty in words and deeds. And what was he accused of by the Corinthians? His bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no account. What was it? Did he not have any language? Oh yes. But he didn't speak in a lofty way, being arrogant in criticism. He spoke as a father in Christ to the newborn children, to them who were led to the Lord. And then he said, you have many schoolmasters, but few fathers. And in Christ I have become a father unto you through the gospel. And I say this today, most certainly not for my sake, because to me, being the least one, the grace was given to show to the people, yes, hundreds of thousands of people in all the world, to show them the way to the Lord. But one thing in connection with this was given along my way. A mother who experienced birth pains and labors, a woman who has born new life into this world, has a relationship to the life that she bore under her heart. And God says, should a woman forget her child, so I, the Lord, will not forget you, for you are engraved into the palms of my hand. The Lord has a church which he had in his heart as a concept, as an imagination, already before the foundation of the world. And when a man was called by God to have part in the building of the church, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that God has set the various ministries into the church for the edification, I ask you to look at these words precisely. Our Lord says in Matthew 16, I will build my church. And then he sets ministries and offices into his church, whom he ordained to be part of this divine edification and build up and establishing. And so Paul writes again to the Corinthians, so we are co-workers of God and of Jesus Christ, and will not glory in ourselves to have done something that God has not done through us. Amen. Not the evangelist, not the prophet, or the great man of God, but the great God, who through his word and through his spirit is at work in his own. I have, in the past days, thought about, and this with all my heart, that we all, who we count ourselves to be part of the church of the living God, to the church of the firstborn, everything what we are and have, that we may place it into the ministry of God. Not only must, but we may, with joy, we may do it. Brother Kier read it to us last Wednesday. Manage the church of God, not out of compulsion, not out of covetousness, not as rulers, but as examples, and feed the flock entrusted to you until the great shepherd will come to give to everyone the reward due to him. This was and is the wish of a man who was called and ordained by God to be his co-worker. And such people will speak like Peter when the apostles had to give account before the high council. And then Peter said, "What do you look at us as if we would have done something? This man stands healthy before you by the power of the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth. What do you look at us as if we would have done something special? This man was healed by the power of God." Such people the Lord is looking for. Matthew 7, from verse 21, our Lord says, "Many will come on that day and say, 'This and that we have done, prophesied, casted out devils, great things we have done.' This word 'we' does not belong there at all. He who wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord, and let he give him the glory, that he is able to do what he intended to do." What did God say to Moses, and probably also to Joshua? "You don't need to fight at all. Just stay calm. I will fight for you." And then suddenly somebody stood before him with a sword drawn in his hand. And he asks, "Are you for us or are you for the others, for the enemies?" And then came the wonderful words over the lips of this angel of the Lord, "I am the captain of the host of the Lord. I have come to give you the victory." Who of us counts still today with the help of God in his, let's call it by name, sometimes in his depressed, hopeless situation? I believe all of us, and we do well to do so. For that, what is impossible with men, this is possible with God. And perhaps we have in our own lives and in the life of others, in our life, we have to experience things of which we think this goes beyond anything that we can bear. Yes, it doesn't go on anymore. My life is meaningless. I can't anymore. And the Lord says, "Behold my son, my daughter, when you have come to an end with your skills, then count with my help. Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will save you, and you shall praise me." Let us at this place not only have the form of a service which has a form of godliness, but let us count with that the power of God is manifested among them who believe him and trust him. We are just longing for it, and he who has given the promise can most certainly not deny himself. He must. The word must one should actually not use on God, but only on man. But God stands to his word. He is duty bound toward his word. He cannot take it back. And therefore, we have an unshakable foundation, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, with unshakable promises, with unshakable prophecy, and God stands to his word from A to Z. Their kings, as written in Psalms and also in the book of Acts, the kings can rage. And the psalm writer said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? God is not hindered by this. He has people who go through the midst of all of that, who put their hope in the Lord and know that he will bring it to pass. Other phone calls came just in when Brother Schmidt was in the office, a letter from Burundi. And this brother said, Brother Frank, come as soon as possible. Everywhere the call unto the ends of the earth. If I'm not mistaken, then I will not be able to go from country to country until the end. But as I would actually like to do it, if God lets me succeed via a satellite, reaching mankind, really to reach them with a, let me call it as in the vernacular, in a concentrated action of God. Not paraphrasing things, no intros, no outros, but in a very clear way presenting the program of God. I, from my side, I'm grateful to the Lord for the privilege to remain clear and sober, to not judge any man, but not to let us be stopped either, but to walk forward. And this might be not clear to some from church history, and also the history of the people of Israel in the Old Testament. They had reached exactly 40 stations in the course of the 40 years, and where they rested. But it didn't remain with the 3rd, 5th, or 25th. When the pillar of fire arose, then the Israelites arose, and they followed the Lord, who went before them. The way of God is to walk and not to stop. And now, as we have the completion before us, it is necessary to walk forward. On the other hand, we look into church history. If there would have not been a beginning at the time of Reformation, and before that, Wycliffe and Huss, and who they were, who even before the time of Reformation have put the word upon the lampstand that was revealed to them. And they made already the first preparations. But if there would not have been the beginning, the breakthrough of the Reformation, then there could not have been a continuation, for that was the new beginning that God had made. But also there, one should not stop, but walk forward. And we feel it when, after the Reformation, everything was established and they formed the first organization, introducing, forming certain things. Then the church died, which once was revived by the divine life, by a true revival. And it was even yesterday, there a lady, almost 100 years old, she said, "Brother Frank, I'm desperate. I can remember it. When my aunt wrote me, when relatives wrote me in my young years, there one Bible verse after the other Bible verse was in the letters. They were older, and they exhorted me with the word of God. And she said, there was not one letter in which were not written many, many Bible verses. And then came something else. Great disappointment. I have spoken with a relative close to me, near Hanover. And just imagine, when I started to speak about faith and about the Word of God, then she began to yell. And she said, stop with it, with these fairy tales. What have I to do with it in this age? And the woman, who is also not so very well pleasing to the Lord, there are of course different people. Maybe she is even here tonight. May God bless her. I only mean it well. And if sometimes to the people a earthly hint could help them spiritually and to loosen them from this earth, to bring them closer to heaven, then also this should be worthwhile. In any case, she started to weep bitterly and said, Brother Frank, I cannot stand it. When I think back on former times and on the fear of God that ruled in our house, the Bible laid on the table and was read daily, and now I have to hear that these are fairy tales. I just can't stand it. But one thing I tell you, no man will drag me away from the faith. I hold fast to it. We live in a time that is changing, sadly, to get worse. And it's no secret that the doubts in the Word of God, in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, in many things, it's proclaimed even from the pulpit and brought among the people. And this is now the fruit that comes up. But let us come to the point that shows us the way of God and lets us know that He always walks on with His people And here I think on Proverbs 4. There it says, the way of the Lord gets brighter until the morning breaks forth. The way of the Lord becomes brighter. It was more illuminated. And we are coming back to the comparison. In the time of Reformation, there was light. There was clarity. But first, it went to the ankles. It didn't reach the knees, the loins, or that one could have swim in the river of the divine revelation. No, there were still traditions here and customs there. And in the midst of it, God prepared himself a mighty way. And one of the men of God said, here I stand, I can do no other, God help me. Another one said, if thy word is no more valid, whereupon should my faith rest? I am not concerned with 1,000 worlds, but only try to do thy word the best. For heaven and earth shall pass away. But it didn't take long. The fire of the revival extinguished slowly but surely. A new organization came up, but God made again a new beginning to go deeper, to put new biblical truths upon the lampstand. I have read the biography of John Wesley, some of his books, and especially whoever sings of Charles Wesley, the hymns, must be touched on his inside, so deep the Spirit of God led him into the Word. And what do we find out? After this mighty revival, on which Whitfield and many others took part, up via Moody, Sinkey, and who they were, Finney, and so forth. God had always men, and it went on and on. My question today is this. Do we live in the days of Reformation? Then let us believe what they believed. Let us do what they did. And let us do as if God would not have done anything since that time. I don't say this out of malice. I say this out of a pain in my heart. Many believers stopped along the way and they didn't walk forward anymore. But God wants that we persevere until the end and go with his doings until we come from believing unto seeing. And then we see new progress. And if I think about that one of the great reformers, there were also two of them in Switzerland, as there were two in Germany, Luther and Schwenkfeld, and there Calvin and Zwingli. And when then this great man from Spain, Servetus, came to Geneva and preached the divinity of Jesus Christ, and who had just clarities similar like we have it today, and suddenly it said, this man must die. And Calvin gave his signature to the death sentence as a reformer, instead of walking on, to become still, to search the scripture. The people judged from their own religious position and were far away from that how God sees it. Our Lord says, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. And if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine that it is of God." Amen. Wherein is the secret? He who is ready to do the will of God, he will not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. Precious heart, let us ask ourselves today, let us ask God and each one himself, to what extent did we leave our ways and thoughts, our programs and concepts, and to what extent did we surrender to God? Also this I have told you before. Whoever has experienced the last months of the Second World War, he saw how people surrendered, how they lifted up both hands. The waist belt was gone. It was not allowed to be on in the surrender. But the gongs, left and right, it was still there. I still remember one situation that touched my heart. A colonel with his stars on the shoulder comes and surrenders. Why? Because a nation was conquered and he belonged to this nation. Beloved, when do we let God conquer us? When will we lift up our hands and say, "Lord, here I am, here I am. Now I want to have the helm of salvation, putting on the armor of God to fight the good fight of faith." And what does Paul write here to the Corinthians? Whoever fights, let him see that he fights rightly, otherwise he is not crowned. It must, the other translation says, according to the rules. Every competition, every race has internationally the same rules. Nobody can make here the other stumble and hopes then to be faster and win. Then he must be disqualified. Then the whistle blows in the true sense of the word. Let us be people who are like a team, who give one another the ball to win together. There are enough gifts, ministries, and tasks in the church of the living God that can be performed. And we just say, "Lord, here I am, not my, but your will be done. Yes, I lay my will into yours." And then, this is faster said than done. But God, who has laid the willing into us, he will give us the strength and he will finish his work that he began in us. Let us come quickly back to Psalms 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Also for me, it is sometimes not easy. And again, I had to learn a lesson from an elder sister who smiled over all her face and said, "Brother Frank, I will tell you now a special experience." And then she said, "I pleaded to God, and he did not answer me. Then at first I wanted to quarrel with him, arguing with him, and you all know the inner conflicts. And suddenly she says to me, 'Brother Frank, do you know when the peace of God entered my heart and when God turned my fate, when I could say with all my heart, my God, I thank you that you did not answer my prayer.'" Can you imagine this? That you did not answer my prayer. What did God want? Later on, it was answered. What did God want? God wanted to give to this sister a lesson along her way, that she cannot say, "I fasted, I prayed, and I have. This God does not want. God wants people of whom it is written, 'He who wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord.'" And sometimes a sadness comes upon us because God did not answer us. And then he sees how it boils in us and almost boils over, sometimes depending on the situation and heat. But God wants to make such people out of us who can say, "Yes, Father, you know it best. I'm just human. I judge and see from my point of view, but you are sovereign. You are almighty and omniscient. You do everything the right way." Simply letting oneself be placed by God into his plan and into his will, and then it's done. It's a good thing to thank the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Just now, I have read the wonderful word from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and I cannot remember such a long prayer as this one in chapter 17. But here, our Lord says, and listen closely, verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Even today, we wait for the finishing of the work of redemption. Our Lord left behind a finished work of redemption. Now he waits and sits there in glory at the right hand of the majesty of God and waits until all enemies are made his footstool. And then, verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Moses said to the Lord, "What is your name? Tell me your name so that I can say to the people of Israel, who has sent me?" And then the Lord said, "Tell them, I am who I am." And then you can read it, probably Exodus 6, verse 3. It should be right. Certainly. There it is underlined. I read from verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Lord God, was I not known to them. God had for everything a time, a plan. He does the things whenever they are due. And so I ask all of us, after all, we are coming from various churches and denominations, out from traditions that became the second nature to us. Please, let us not look back. Let us look forward. Let us go with God. If I would have lived in the days of Reformation, I would have walked on with that what God does. If I would have been on earth in the days of Wesley, I would have walked on. Moody, Finney, who they were, Spurgeon, and so forth. I would have just walked with them. Now I ask you, what do you expect? Or to put it better, what does God expect from us? That we somewhere stop in the past, or that we walk on with God. And the nice thing is that we don't need to add anything to the scripture, but we see how the Spirit of God leads from clarity to clarity and from truth to truth. And when Paul writes to the Ephesians, what remained hidden to the children of men since time began was now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. And then he writes, thereby you can see my knowledge with the mystery of Christ. Praise be to our God. No empty words. Not a thing mixed with theology. Simply following the divine footprints from beginning to end, to then experience the completion with God. Psalms 92, we want to sing praises unto our God, giving Him the glory for everything and with all our hearts what He has done on us. To show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. The Psalms are something wonderful. There is no situation in life that would not be dealt with. Every psalm, and sometimes in one psalm, the most various things can be found there that are applicable to our life. May God give us at the right time the right word by His grace. Also, this somebody said to me recently, I always close my Bible and then I let fall it open and then I read. Whoever can do this, let him do it. I cannot. Maybe I did it two or three times in my life, in deepest inner trouble, to get an answer from God. But the Bible is not an oracle book. The Bible is God's holy word. And whether I look up Psalms 33 or 79, this I can do myself. I don't need to let the Bible drop open for that. No, let us be sober. But should somebody be led in such a way, we in no way take it away from him. If this is his personal guidance and his way with God, we leave him like this and bless him in the name of the Lord. It can of course be that God leads some like this and the other like that. Important is, and with this I come to a close, that nobody speaks about his personal leadings with God with somebody else. He will not understand it. Let your life be a walk with God. Only speak about those things which cannot harm you when you get a feedback. And the Lord God will bless us together. His name be highly praised forever. Amen. Creator of the heavens and the earth, who you alone have immortality, and who you dwell in a light where no one has access to, you revealed yourself to us in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Those who are afar off, you made nigh. The lost, you saved, and reconciled us with yourself. Beloved Lord, the end of all things has come upon us, and the end with your church must become as the beginning was. Dear Lord, my heart is moved tonight to lay all before you, all who want to be saved, that they stop with their own lives, that the ego is left behind, and so that you could reign on the throne of their heart. I pray for me, my earthly ways and decisions. I pray for the church and her spiritual development and walk. Faithful Lord, take away everything what disturbs and hinders us, that we become one spirit with you. And as already Solomon said in the Proverbs, draw me and we will run after thee. Lord, thy name has become to us like a poured out self, a sweet smelling savor, a treasure that time and again overwhelms us. Where others are puzzled and don't have the answer, there you revealed it unto the babes. Father, you said, I have revealed thy name unto them whom thou hast given me from the world. They are yours. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you made us worthy by the blood of the Lamb and by your Spirit to lead us into your Word and into the mysteries. We pray now for all who received talents, be it for singing, be it for playing. Lord, let music, let harmony, let everything what you would like to have Let it return into your church, Lord, that such an atmosphere would be here in which you feel at home and where your people are blessed. All requests, all prayer petitions, we bring them to you as we pray here, Eastern and Western Europe. Lord, we have no enemies. We only have one enemy. This is the enemy of our soul, and him you conquered. Bless all of the Russian people with their many peoples in their country. Call out and make them your treasure. Open all doors and all gates. Thank you for the declaration of the president in Budapest that it is the basic right of a citizen to travel according to his decision, where to and when he likes. Lord, you have ways and means. The time is here. You burst iron chains and you open iron gates. Also the iron curtain and the bamboo curtain you can open. The Roman we leave up to you. Oh my Lord, here we are. Bless with us all of your worshiping people all over the earth. To you, the living God, be the praise and honor forever. Amen.